The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be featuring a rebroadcast of the work No Potato Passover, excellent cookbook for preparing for Passover in a non-traditional way, with author Aviva Kaniff. We've got wonderful music, some of it Passover-esque, yes, I will say that we are in the Passover season. The portion of the week is the portion of Metzora, which can be found in chapter 14 of the book of Leviticus. We've got... Really, this is one of my favorite Hasidic stories coming up at the end of the hour, so stay tuned for that. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel did not release the fourth group of 26 Palestinian security prisoners last night, as was agreed to last July. A committee meeting must be held 48 hours before the release to publicize the names of the prisoners. No meeting was held this week, and Prime Minister Netanyahu's office did not comment if there would be further releases. This, of course, has the Palestinian administration up in arms. The Prime Minister's office remained silent about whether Netanyahu intended to go ahead with the release at all. IDF forces arrested a terrorist cell in Shechem that shot at cars passing through Judea. The group also threw homemade bombs at cars. A large cache of M16 rifles was taken in the arrests. IDF forces also patrolling the border with Egypt were fired at from the Egyptian side. No injuries were reported, and three Arab teenagers stabbed an IDF soldier in the leg in northern Jerusalem. The soldier was taken to Hadassah Hospital and released shortly thereafter. In other news, Jerusalem prosecutors indicted Aziz Awisat for cutting gas lines and causing buildings to explode. He was charged with attempted murder and assisting enemy organizations. A Jewish teacher was savagely beaten by a group of Arab men in an anti-Semitic attack in Paris. The attackers broke the victim's nose and drew a swastika on his chest in magic marker after tearing open his shirt. In the Boycott Diversity and Sanctions BDS movement on campuses, University of Michigan student government voted not to divest. Loyola Chicago voted to divest, but the president of the university said they would not divest. And King's College London voted to divest. In Judeo-politics concerning Crimea, Russia's chief rabbi, Beryl Lazar, came out strongly for Putin's takeover of the area, saying that the Russian president was shown that he is good for the Jews and that Ukrainian nationals have a tendency to be anti-Semitic. Ukrainian rabbi Mendel Kamenetsky, who lives in the western Ukrainian city of Dnipropetrovsk, objected to Rabbi Lazar's statement, saying that the best thing for Ukrainian Jewry would be a united Ukraine aligned with the European Union. Comments were made at the Conference of European Rabbis held this week in Budapest, and that's the news. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Listening to the Jewish Hour, we have on the live line Miss Aviva Kanoff, who is the author of The No Potato Passover Cookbook, A Journey of Food, Travel, and Color. How are you today, Aviva?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Okay, so you've got this cookbook over here, and the premise is no potatoes. And I know, and everybody else knows, that when it comes time to Passover, which is an eight-day all-you-can-eat fest, that we usually wind up gaining anywhere between 5 to 10 pounds. And taking out the potatoes is just going to ruin all that.
I know. That's unfortunate. You won't have to take out your shoes after you have this.
Indeed, indeed. So, tell us your impetus in writing No Potato Passover, please, Aviva.
Sure. Well, actually, last year, I decided to challenge myself with the No Potato Pesach Challenge because I, like many other people, was sick of just making potatoes for 8 days straight. And, you know, everyone's trying to lose weight the whole year, and then they're like, oh, no, Pesach's coming. We're going to get, you know, we bought all these Pesach clothes that we're not going to get fit into, you know, so that's a problem. And, but aside from that, that's just a side measure. I just got really bored of making potatoes, and I wanted to challenge myself, since I do the cooking at home. I wanted to see what would happen if we didn't use one potato.
Okay.
So I told my mom, and she freaked out. But I told her, you know, don't worry, you can use them for car pots. But other than that, I want to see how it goes.
Okay.
And I was really surprised with the outcome.
Okay, now you've incorporated in your cookbook, brand new on the kosher for Passover scene is quinoa. People are really just starting now, just still finding out about quinoa. I remember way back when I first became religious in 1976 that people started asking if we could have brown rice on Shabbos, not on Pesach, of course. And people who were like raised religious had no idea what brown rice was. And here it is now in the 2000s. Quinoa has been around. I don't know, it gained popularity about 8-10 years ago. And about 3-4 years ago, people decided to think about eating it on Passover. And I see that you've incorporated quinoa into many of your recipes. So first, for people who have never heard of the word quinoa, Ben, you ever heard of quinoa? Ben has never heard of quinoa. Okay. So tell Ben, our trusty board op, what is quinoa? And maybe if you know a little bit about the controversy and how you're going to use it on Passover, please, Aviva.
Well, luckily I'm a little bit informed about all of those questions. Try to help you out. Quinoa is actually, people think of it as a grain because it looks like a grain, similar to couscous, but it's actually a seed, and it's from the cabbage family. It's a chenopod. It's from the cabbage family. It looks, you know, to the human eye, it looks similar to couscous. So it looks very similar to a grain. It's actually a vegetable. So you can have gum on it. It's, you know, it's not mazonos. It's not a grain. But the controversy is that unless you have your mazola in Bolivia, where your quinoa is from, you know, it's grown all over South America, and it's been a superfood there for thousands of years. Americans are just catching on to it, though. And there is a huge controversy in the Jewish world because, you know, a lot of people don't have a mazola in quinoa, so they're like, I don't know.
Could you explain the terms mazola, please?
Okay, I'm sorry, yeah. People, you know, the Jewish tradition relies heavily on what our ancestors have been doing for thousands of years. And that's really important in our tradition today and how, you know, how we keep Judaism today. So there are new things that are happening all the time because this is the modern age. So sometimes there are conflicting views with modernity and our past traditions. So just like, you know, we didn't have electricity in the time of some of our great sages, it doesn't mean that we can't use electricity today.
Yeah, yeah. I know. If I can just interrupt you with a little anecdote, people are very, very good, very fussy when it comes to Passover. And my grandmother used to say, everybody's Mishugas, everybody's craziness is okay on Passover. The chief, I was in Australia for a while, and the chief rabbi of Australia, a very formidable, brilliant man, very charismatic, and he said that he did not eat avocados on Passover because his mother, of blessed memory, never ate avocados on Passover. And it was sort of like, well, duh, your mother never saw an avocado, so she never ate it on Passover. So, of course, you know, but thank God we do eat avocados. And so it depends on what your traditions are. So go ahead, continue, please. We're back to quinoa. Yeah. What was the controversy then?
Okay, so the controversy this year is because, you know, for the past few years, I myself only heard about quinoa 2 years ago. For the past few years, you know, since I heard about it, I've been asking my rabbi in Miami, you know, if it's permissible to eat on Pesach, and can we apply it? Does it have to have an OUP? And he said, as of last year, you were able to buy a big bag at Costco, and just, you know, if it's a sealed bag, you're able to use it. But this year, because quinoa has really been catching on, and it's a known superfood because all of its qualities, like high fiber and high protein, and it's really, really, really healthy for you. So people want to get a piece of that. And since they started growing it more locally, people have been known to grow it near barley.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's grown near barley, they're thinking that it might be an issue of kidney.
So there might be some sort of like cross contamination with the barley, which would be considered not Passover worthy, and the quinoa.
Right.
Okay. Now,
so
just go ahead.
To get around that, is, you know, so the rabbis are like, okay, that's, you know, I see that this is a problem this year. You can't just rely on any quinoa, but they have a Passover run.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're able to make, you know, you're able to order quinoa that has had no contact with barley or wheat or grain or any other thing that might make it hummus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not able to eat.
I've been having a running debate with some of the rabbis over here. The I do supervision for the OK, which is one of the kosher supervising agencies, and they receive, one of the things I check out is they repackage quinoa from 50-pound bags into 1-pound bags. This is in for Eden Foods, and they are so meticulous in how these individual things are packaged. They package a lot of things in these little 1-pound bags. The extent that they go to prevent cross-contamination is such that the USDA has said about their stuff that you don't even have to run in a bag processed in the same plant that processes wheat, for example, because they just do, whenever they get done with anything, they do just a tremendous scrub down. So I asked the people, the who's who at the OK, can we put an OKP on it? And they said, we're not there yet. They didn't want to be, as one rabbi said, the first person to declare quinoa kosher for Passover, but it may be coming. My kids eat quinoa on Passover, and we use the Eden variety. But it does require, as the way that people who eat rice, for example, on Passover, have to check through it 3 times to make sure that there's nothing stuck to any of the grains. Go ahead, Aviva, continue.
Yeah, there is, you know, there's definitely a controversy. I know that Starkey gave a hexer on it this year. They spoke about it, and the OU is still a little bit hesitant. Just like you said, they don't want to be the pioneers in, you know, in such a controversial issue. But like I said, I take it and check it out myself, you know. Hopefully that's my next trip.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the quinoa issue. That's good. I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah. Also, you know, I just wanted to say, I mean, this is a Passover cookbook, but I really recommend people eating quinoa all year, even if, you know, if they don't want to eat it for 8 days, you should definitely eat it for the rest of the year because it's a wonderful, wonderful superfood.
I agree. My quinoa has my endorsement. It's one of the few, I'm on one of those like diets, and quinoa is one of the few starches that I'm allowed, or few grain-like commodities that I'm allowed to eat because it's not a starch. Anyway, so the other recipes, where did you get your recipes for your some of your main dishes, like your Hungarian beef goulash, for example, Aviva Kanoff?
Where did I get that? Well, what I did is adapted a lot of well-known recipes, and I kind of put my own twist on it. If you look for a typical Hungarian beef goulash, you will find many potatoes in there, but I just took them out and tweaked it to my liking.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a lot of recipes like duck a la ronde, let's say, which is a very classic recipe, and it's usually a convoluted recipe that takes up to 4 pages long until you get it right. And I basically simplified it. You know, I didn't come up with the term duck a la ronde by any means, but I did simplify it to make it kind of more a household ingredient. And, you know, I also wrote, you know, I give some tips in the book just to kind of help people out while they're cooking. And I said, listen, if you can't find a duck, just use a chicken. It'll, you know, you don't have to go out and look for a little 5-pound duckling.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, are you going to make duck this Pesach?
No, I hate duck.
Fair enough.
I hate duck and lamb, but I had to make it for the
General
purpose of
Paso,
the cookbook,
you're not
because
as
I
fat,
know I'm not
I guess,
the only one in the world.
Right.
My dog actually ate the duck and the lamb bones. I was like, here, Frankie.
Okay, there you go. My wife makes duck about once every 8 years, and that was last November. So we're not getting duck again for about 8 years because it is such a pachka, as my grandmother would say.
It's a pachka, but it's, you know, if you have chicken all around, it's really yummy too.
Okay, terrific. Now, what do you people eat? One of the things that happens with me is that I am exclusively a shmura matzah consumer, which is the handmade shmura stuff, which shmura matzah we're going to have sitting in our house for the 8 days of Passover. We're going to have 13 people. So feeding people matzah for 13 days gets a little bit on the pricey side. So the potato comes in handy, actually, when someone says, I'm hungry. So you say, okay, we've got these potatoes. This is going to fill you up. Instead of consuming matzahs at $18 a pound, we can get potatoes at 33 cents a pound. So what? How are we getting satiated on the no-potato Passover, Aviva Kanoff?
Well, the truth is, you know, if you're open to eating quinoa, that is super, super filling, and it has all kinds of nutrients, protein, and fiber that you're not getting from a potato.
Okay. What else?
And there's the spaghetti squash, which I use a lot as a pasta substitute. And if you eat that, you're getting full of fiber, full of nutrients. You're really, really full. You can eat it with tomato sauce and cheese. You can eat it with meatballs. You can eat it with pesto. You can eat it with all your favorite spaghetti recipes that you usually eat during the year.
Okay. But you don't have any aversions to French fries, do you? You're not like an anti-French fry person.
I don't have any aversions to French fries or mashed potatoes. But, you know, I just wanted people to branch out because I know that people go into freak-out mode when it comes to Pesach. And they run to the store and they buy 50 pounds of potatoes. And I just, you know, I wanted to kind of lighten the mood a little bit and the menu.
Okay. Now, you've tested this philosophy of no potato Passover last year in your own kitchen. How did it go over?
It was really, really, really awesome. It was so much better than I expected. My family was really surprised. My friends were really surprised. And not only did I not eat potatoes during Passover, because I was cooking, you know, because I was working on the cookbook all year, I basically hardly had potatoes for the rest of the year, too. You know, so my friends would come over for Shabbos. I host a lot of Shabbos meals, and I usually have around 10 to 15 people there. And they're like, okay, great. Are we having potatoes this week? And I'm like, nope. You know, it kind of became a joke with them that we've been eating like Pesach desserts and Pesach food all year round. But so far, no one's complaining.
Okay. That's awesome. That is really awesome.
You know, I'm not putting a ban on potatoes. You know, people are more than welcome to eat potatoes as much as they want. I just, you know, like I said, I really just wanted to give people options and open themselves up to different kind of recipes that they're not used to.
Okay. Did you encounter any kind of glitches when making the cookbook? Did things like you're thinking, I'm going to make some of this and then try doing it, and it really didn't work for Passover?
Yeah, actually, what I do when I experiment and it doesn't come out good, I kind of like bury it in the garbage underneath things, like hide it under newspaper so nobody sees.
Frankie doesn't get it? No.
Frankie doesn't get it. I hide it from her. It's really, really well hidden. I don't like to have that under my belt that I created something disgusting. So, but yeah, there were some pretty bad recipes.
Would you like to
Luckily,
share?
I've been cooking. What?
Would you like to share something to just like don't warn people? Don't try this at home, folks.
I tried this recipe. Only one comes to mind. I tried this recipe where I mixed quinoa and meat. like a ground beef, and I stuffed it in a cabbage, and it was like the least. I stuffed it in an acorn squash, and it was the least appetizing thing I ever ate or looked at. I'm like, this cannot be in the
cookbook. Okay, fair enough. It sounds like that's possible. Also, you have to cook the quinoa first, though.
Yeah, you cook the quinoa first, and this is really important. I was doing a bunch of cooking demonstrations to promote my book for the past 2 weeks. And, you know, the bag says, if you buy a box or a bag of quinoa, it says to cook about 15 minutes. And I find that you have to cook it for at least 20 to 25 before it's edible. And also with the spaghetti squash, me and my dad were sitting in the kitchen, and people have mentioned that they tried to make spaghetti squash, but they didn't have a lot of lock in the microwave. So I put a spaghetti squash in the microwave for 10 minutes without putting splits in it, without cutting it open.
And it exploded.
And it exploded.
Right.
So it definitely will do that if you don't puncture holes in it to air it out.
Yes, indeed. What I found an interesting thing, so we're talking about quinoa. Once happened that someone accidentally, quinoa is generally like all grains, is two cups of water, one cup grain. And someone actually in my family did it like they, for some reason, put in 4 cups of it, and then they forgot about it, and it just like cooked. And it cooked for like 2 hours. And what happened is the quinoa continued to expand. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it turned into like the quinoa that ate Cleveland. And it turned into the consistency. It lost its grain consistency and turned into a mush. So I'm thinking we could do like a Pesachtik, a Mamalig. That would be like really awesome, which is like this cornmeal mush with vegetable stuff going on. So, and there's also the story of when my daughter grabbed the wrong bag, thinking she was cooking quinoa, and grabbed the sesame seeds, because it does look like sesame seeds. And as much as she tried to boil those sesame seeds, they did not turn into quinoa. So, something else to discuss. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We're talking to Aviva Kanef, who has written The No Potato Passover. As people who are familiar with Passover know that you have to do something because we're not eating bread, and it's always been traditional, at least in Ashkenazi homes, to consume copious quantities of potatoes because it was like a readily available commodity. Now, if you would be from a Sephardic background, but being from Jews from North Africa or from the Middle East, your no potato Passover would be a moot point, would it not, Aviva Kanef?
Technically, if you're just thinking of it in terms of not eating potatoes, but there are so many, you know, I use so many different vegetables that even Svartan would want to use them. You know, so it's not a bunch of different rice substitutes. Mm-hmm. You know, and also, like I said, about the difference between rice and quinoa, because, I get asked that question a lot. So for Svartan that eat rice, you know, because they're allowed to if they wash it 3 times, and a lot of them say that it's more of a pachka, like you said, than it's worth. But, even for the Svartan that eat rice, I would suggest eating quinoa because, like I said, you know, you don't get any fiber or protein or a lot of vitamins from rice that you do get from quinoa. So I would suggest, you know, for the Svartan that eat rice, substituting their rice dishes with quinoa as well.
Okay, terrific. We're just about out of time for this segment, and thank you for coming on. The book is, again, The No Potato Passover by Aviva Kanef. It's available wherever fine Jewish books are sold. It's on Amazon. And who's the publisher? I don't notice a publisher on it.
I'm the publisher.
Oh, self-published. Okay. Swell. We got it. I have a person who's an agent who sends me all kinds of stuff all the time, and that's who I got this cookbook from. It's actually wonderful. The pictures are wonderful. Tell us about the photography. Just real quick.
Oh, that was the best part. I love traveling, and I wanted to find a way to incorporate my travel photography into my books because, you know, when I read cooking magazines, let's say, I'm always intrigued by the recipes that have a bunch of travel photography, you know, incorporated where people have gone, you know, where they've gone to France and they've had all kinds of French cuisine, but they include pictures of France. That's always my favorite part.
Okay.
Also, I'm an artist. By profession as well. You know, that's really my passion. So I wanted to make the book just really colorful, really fun, kind of like the family heirloom that I never had. Just, you know, put together a bunch of pictures and a bunch of fun photography and all kinds of recipes that people actually want to eat that don't take too long, because I don't take, I mean, generally I don't cook anything that takes longer than 10 minutes to make. That's my claim to fame. So
that's a good rule.
None of these meats where you have to marinate it for 3 weeks before you cook it. I start cooking for Pesach the day before and I'm done. The time to kill, go swimming. My parents' house in Miami before the saving.
Oh, I wish I had a pool I could go swimming in. This is Michigan, after all. But, okay, we want to thank you so much for coming on. Again, it's the No Potato Passover, Aviva Kanoff, and continued success.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on.
Okay, and a happy and a healthy Passover.
You too, and to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go anywhere else when you can go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. It is time for some music. We have a request. This is from Yaakov listening in Oak Park. We actually got somebody local, yes. This is Levi Robbins. He wanted to hear Mighty Waters, so I'm glad to do it for you, Yaakov. Here's Mighty Waters.
My heart grows weary. My eyes lie and I've lost all feeling. So now I float, don't wanna sink down this moat, blurring the sand. Nobody waters can put me out. No river can wash me away. 'Cause I call to you and you answer me with an open hand and mercy. I long to follow your ways. I search you out till the end of my days. Fortunate ones call in your name. You know you're one, you air in your name. No mighty waters can put me out. No river can wash me away. 'Cause I we me away. Guys, I call to you and you answer me with an open hand and mercy.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shul Fidman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. It is the Passover season, and we do like to play parodies on this show. So this is the Maccabees, and this is their Passover song in the style of the music from Les Miserables. Let's listen in.
The day you're another day colder.
At the end of
and the shirt on your back doesn't keep out the chill.
The chill.
And the righteous hurry past. They don't hear the little ones cry. And the guards coming up fast, ready to kill. One day near to dying. At the end of the day, there's another day dawning. And the sun in the morning is waiting to rise. Like a wave fresh on the sand. Like a storm that'll break any sack. There's a hunger in the land. There's a reckoning still to be reckoned. And we're gonna be free someday.
At the end of the day.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that hope would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. Then I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted.
Condemn these men to slavery. Pretend I do not feel their agony. These innocent who bear my face, who go to judgment in my place. Who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? Pretend I'm not the man I was before. And must my name until I die be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow man? Can I ever face myself again? My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on.
Watch them run amok, catch them as they fall. Never know your luck till there's a free-for-all. Here's a little nip, there's a little touch. Most of them are gone, so there won't be much.
One day to a new beginning.
Tomorrow we'll discover what our God in heaven has in store. One more dawn, one more day, one day more.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's a symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. It's been a while since we played anything Theodore Bickel, so I figured I'd go way down into the depths of the Jewish Hour archives and pull up something very classic Theodore Bickel. This is called Yosele de Klezmer, Joe the Musician.
So klezmer spielt euch was Simche, tanz dich evre wie ach wahalje in jam. Me hulet, me springt und me tanzt und me singt. Ay, di di da, ay, di di da, ay, dam. Ay, ay, di dam, ay, di dam. Ay, 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 di di da, di di dam. Spielt mit sein Fiedel in Reitel und hält den Marschallik zum Glam. Und wenn Jossel nimmt sich zu sein Fiedel, tanzen er dich wahrlich in Jam. Als Jossel hochlömer spielt euch was im Fett, an dich evre wie auch wahrlich in Jam. Me holet, me springt und me tanzt und me singt. Ay, di di da, ay, di di da, ay, dam. Ay, ay, di dam, ay, di dam. Ay, ay, da, ay, da, ay, di di da, di 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 dam. Sein Schutte pfeift auf dem Pfeifel und Berl klingt das Trunne auf dem Bass. Und als Jossel nimmt sich zu sein Fiedel, tanzen nur die Schwellen in Gas. Als Jossel Klezmer spielt euch was im Fe, tanz die Fevre wie ach Wahalje in Jam. Me holet, me springt und me tanzt und me singt. Ay, di di da, ay, di di da, ay, dam. Ay, di dam, di dam. Ay, ay, di da, ay, di di da, di 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 dam. Poppe sei de gei in dem Brüggestanz, Hosen kalle Pieschen mit die Hen. Und als Jossel nimmt sich zu sein Fido, tanzen nur die Schotten seit die Wend. Als Jossel Klezmer spielt euch was im Fe, tanz dich evre wie ach Wahalje in Jam. Me holet, me springt und me tanzt und me singt. Ay, di di da, ay, di di da, ay, dam. Ay, ay, di da, ay, di dam. Ay, ay, di da, ay, di di da, di 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 da.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Shulfin, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. As promised at the onset of the show, we will be talking about the Parsha of Metzora, which can be found in the book of Leviticus in chapter 14. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe did not like calling this portion the name that's called to it. The word Metzora means, translated into English incorrectly, the leper. So it seems that you have something like the Torah, a portion of the week, and you're living a week, like actually in legal documents in Hebrew, it would say like today is Monday of the portion of Metzora. Or like today, Sunday. Today's the day, first day of the portion of Metzora. So he didn't like the idea of having this, the portion of the leper written down. It's irksome. So he referred to it as Parshas Tahara, the portion of purification, because the portion does not talk about how a person becomes afflicted with this skin malaise, which we talked about last week, called tsaras, which is incorrectly translated as leprosy. But it rather deals with the purification. What happens if somebody has this problem? How do they get rid of it? So it's a portion of purity, not a portion of defilement. This portion this year happens to be read in the weeks prior to Pesach. This is the first Shabbos, Tuesday is the beginning of the month. So this is the first Shabbos which the portion will be read in the month of Nisan, the month prior to Passover. Yesterday was already Parshat HaChovdesh, which is a special Torah reading to remind people, by the way, in just over 2 weeks, Passover is coming. So therefore, we have to connect this idea of purification with a portion. Lots of things that are engaged with purification is the direct preparation for getting rid of the leavening which we are forbidden to have. By the way, if you would like to sell your chametz, meaning to make your chametz not yours during the week of Passover, you can contact me at rabbifinman.com, and we can handle that all via email. No problem. No one will call you. It's free. It's easy. It's a service to the community. And last year I did about, maybe 2,500 people responded. So this year we're doing it again. So contact me, rabbifinman.com. Just send me, go to the contact part on the homepage and tell me that you want to send your chametz. I will send you out the document. You just fill it in online, send it back. Bada bing, bada boom. Now, also, we eat matzah during the week of Passover, and it is prudent and particularly careful that a person use what's called shmura matzah, which is hand-baked matzahs. The matzahs you see in the store are these square matzahs. They're made with machines. There's nothing wrong with them as far as kosher on Passover is concerned, because some rabbi says that they're kosher for Passover. But whenever you have machines, there's always something that could go wrong. Maybe it heats up the matzah too fast and the matzah becomes chametz. Maybe they don't clean it out properly. Who knows what could go wrong? There's things that could go wrong. So like this, with the handmade stuff, there's very, very, very little that can go wrong. And so it is, me personally, I used just shmura matzah the whole week. But for those people who would just like to be a little more careful, you should for sure use shmura matzah at the Seder. So it just so happens I happen to be a vendor of shmura matzah. I sell whole wheat shmura matzah. I sell organic spelt matzah and gluten-free oat matzah, which all of these can be used to fulfill your obligation of the mitzvah of eating matzah on the first two nights of Passover. So if you're in the Detroit area, I'm not going to ship it if you're listening online. If you're in the Detroit area and you need Shmura Matzah, I have just, by the way, the basically the cheapest prices in town for the stuff that I'm selling. So contact me directly on rabbifinman.com and we'll take care of it. So now, back to matters at hand. When we are approaching Passover, the whole deal with Passover is getting rid of the chametz. Chametz is not dirt. Chametz is leavening. In Yiddish, it's called ungeblosenkeit. It means like an arrogance, a lack of humility. So here we are in the portion of Metzora, and which is the portion of purification, that the way in which a person got rid of tzaras, if you put ointments on it, didn't help. Took baths, didn't help. Went down to the Dead Sea, put some of that mud on there, didn't help. This was not a physical malaise. This was, as we talked about last week, the result of a spiritual impropriety. A person has some sort of character defect. Gossip, arrogance, going beyond one's authority, greed, stinginess, all these things. The result would be this warning from the Almighty to get their act together. So what does a person have to do when given a warning by the Almighty? Get your act together. I suggest they get their act together. So one of the major things that a person has to do in preparation for Passover is to search in every corner, nook, and hole, as it says in the Code of Jewish Law, for the slightest, littlest crumb, the slightest trace of arrogance and lack of humility. That's how we're supposed to be preparing now for Passover. That preparation is tantamount. That's what Passover really is all about. It's good. Don't eat bread for a week. Fine. Eat matzah. Terrific. More important is get your act together. Speaking of acts together, we got a commercial break. We'll be right back. We've got this exciting Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest, bestest, most efficient way? Go to rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com, right on the homepage. There's a link. You don't have to go looking for contacts. I was just on a website. This is one of these award-winning websites. It has must have thousands of pages on it. And I needed to send a letter to somebody involved with this organization. And man, it took me 5 minutes. I'm not even joking. I have my calendar, my clock running right in front of me as we're doing the show. It took me 5 minutes to find a contact page. You will not have that problem on Rabbi Finman. Right on the homepage, contact us. You contact me. I contact you. We become good buddies and life is good. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show. You'll find, going back about a month,
You'll also find archived editions of the U-Parsha Hasidic U Story and U-Parsha, which are insights into the portion of the week, and stories, which you won't hear here on this here show, because I like to keep things fresh and various media therein. And you'll also find the very, very, very important donations page. April, it's here. It's coming up. It's like time to pay the piper. We only do it because you, the listener, that's right, you who are listening right now, you contribute, we get to do the Jewish Hour. You don't contribute, no more Jewish Hour. We've been on air 18 years. We've been doing this. You've come through every single month. I would like it if it could be that I could say at the beginning of the month, you know, we raised enough money this month. We don't need to ask you to give. But it hasn't happened yet, and I would like it to happen. So go to rabbifinman.com, click on the donations page. There's lots of tabs you can click on, makes it all easy. It's all safe, secure, PayPal, the whole business. Don't like any of the numbers that are there. There's a place where you can put your own number, one bigger, smaller, or different. Like some people like to give $26, which is a numerical value of God's name. I don't think there's a 26 there. So if you want to give $26, that's fine, good. Don't like using internet for paying bills, credit cards, that whole business, I understand. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated, as Mr. Spex Howard, who's celebrating his 89th birthday. Wow, Kenahara, this month. Anyway, Hasidic story. One of the senior disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement, this puts you back about 250 years ago, his name was David Lakis, had a son whose name was Reb Nachum Nachum of Chernobyl, who became the Chernobyl Rebbe. He came to visit his son, his son-in-law, and was sitting and discussing philosophy with the students of the Chernobyler. And he said to them, "Does anybody here have perfect faith in their Rebbe, in their leader?" So nobody answered. So he just went like the classic Yiddish, "No," which means like, "What are you guys, a bunch of toads? Come on, answer my question." So someone said, "Who could have perfect faith? What's perfect faith mean?" So he said, "Let me tell you a story. It once happened that the Baal Shem Tov had a Hasidic gathering on Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos, we don't deal with money. Our pockets are empty. Immediately after the Havdalah, which is a ceremony which begins the week, the Baal Shem Tov turned to me and said, 'David, reach into your pocket, take out a gold gilden,'" which is a pretty hefty coin, "'and go to the local innkeeper and buy wine from a Lava Malka, the evening repose, the Saturday night meal." He said, "I put my hand in my pocket and took out a gold coin." So one of the students of the Chernobyl who was sitting at the table said, "All you're telling us is that the Baal Shem Tov is a wonder worker. We know that you didn't have any money in your pocket on Shabbos." And you put your hand in, he says, "No, you don't understand the point of the story. I didn't say to him, 'But Rebbe, I'm Shabbos dick.' The Baal Shem Tov said, 'Put your hand in your pocket and take out a coin.' So without even thinking, I put my hand in my pocket and I took out a coin." It says that's the way we're supposed to trust in the Almighty. That we know, it says, don't expect a miracle, but don't be surprised when one happens either. That's going to do it for the show. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We're going to be starting the month of Nissan. I've been telling people with them going around delivering matzah now. It's crunch time now, as far as matzah is concerned. Have a great week, and we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.